Don't miss a second of the action as the Preds face the Arizona Coyotes in Game 4 today. Watch party viewing destinations include Burger Republic and Party Foul. Stop by Burger Republic in Lenox Village or Mount Juliet and enjoy the Force Burger for a limited time and $4 Happen Harry's Pints. Party Foul locations are at the Cool Springs Galleria in Franklin, in Murfreesboro off Broad Street, in Donelson off of Lebanon Pike, and downtown in the Gulch. Wear your Preds gold and bring the noise to root on the Preds. Puck drop at 1:30. 102.5 The Game will be at Party Foul in the Gulch and the Burger Republic in Mount Juliet from noon until the end of the game. So make sure you stop by and pick up some game and Preds swag. And with that, my friends, it's now time to bring in Teron Davenport. Baby, don't have to ask. Don't ask no questions. Teron Davenport, ladies and gentlemen. And TD, before we get rolling here, I hear you have a connection to the artist we're hearing right now. What's going on, man?
Yeah, that's right, man. I appreciate you guys playing at Marquise and making that happen. That's my daughter, man, my 21-year-old. And, you know, since we've been in Nashville, she's been working with some of the local artists, and this is another one of the songs she brought out. So
that's your daughter singing?
I appreciate that.
That's your daughter singing?
That's her.
Holy crap.
That was her singing, yeah. Yeah, she got a little voice on her, man.
Now, did she get that musical talent from you, TD? Is this you doing this?
Nah, man. I mean, you hear me right now. I sound like Teddy Pendergrass. version of it. You know what I mean? So, no, she didn't get it from me.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with being a little Teddy P, though. But, man, that is really impressive. Okay, so what's her name? I need to follow her on Twitter and hear more of this.
Yeah, her name, she doesn't really do much on Twitter, but she has a SoundCloud. She calls herself The Godfly. So it's D-A-G-A-D-F-L-Y. You could check her out on SoundCloud. And she has a few pages on Instagram also.
Sounds good. I'm all for it.
That's fantastic. I've talked about getting on Instagram, you know. Everybody's on Instagram now.
You need to get there, Joe.
I know.
People would love to see your beautiful face on Instagram. There's no question about it.
That's impressive stuff, TD.
Yeah, she shocked me. Yeah. When she was younger, we went up to New York. This was maybe 5 years ago. We went up to New York for, either America's Got Talent or it was one of those shows like that. And we're sitting in the room and everyone else is, you know, doing the Do-re-mi and all that stuff, you know, working on their voice, and she's just sitting there. I'm like, Deja, are you going to practice? And she's like, no, we're good. And when we went in there, she sang one of Rihanna's songs, and one of the judges started crying. She liked it so much. She made it to the next round, but her issue was she was a lot more shy back then, so she didn't have that stage presence, so she didn't advance too much further. But yeah, I was proud of her.
Absolutely.
Wow,
that's awesome. Teron Davenport on the line with us, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter and host of Talking with TD. So TD, obviously, Vic Beasley, we talked about it last week with you. Now it's developed since then that the opt-out deadline has come and gone, and he still has not even opted out and not shown up. How in the world do you begin to describe what in the world's going on with Vic Beasley here in the Titans?
I think the first thing that comes to mind is disappointing. And here's my thing, right? You had these things coming out from Atlanta about work ethic, about dedication to the game, you know. And for me, when I look at what Mike Vrabel and John Robinson and the folks there at St. Thomas Sports Park, they have repetitively said, we're giving him a clean slate. And you give a man a clean slate and you take and have all of these side virtual conversations with him because he's not as comfortable in the group setting and because you want to focus in on getting him up to speed. And the way you get rewarded is no call, no show for a couple of days. And then you call and then you don't show for a bunch more days. So for me, it's just all disappointing. I think that's the way you have to explain it. But also, you have to try to, you know, develop understanding too. Okay, what is it that's keeping this man from coming? Why is it that you have this bizarre behavior? I think that's really important to look at. Where are you as far as from a mental standpoint? And you have to hope that everything is okay from that perspective.
Yeah, I mean, we're in the situation we've been, TD, for about 10 days now, really of just being left to speculate. And early on, we were talking about this earlier on the show, it was like, man, is Vic Beasley okay? You got to think about that.
Yeah.
And then there was a Chattanooga reporter said, he had a family wedding. We go through more and more days and this, and I kind of thought, okay, he's probably just debating about opting out and he'll probably opt out. That's not the case. So I've already jumped to the battle over money that may come. And in my mind, I think it's really hard. It's going to be hard if he changes his mind, for him to come in and have a lot of trust. Now, obviously you come in, you say, sorry, you didn't call, you work hard and you can make up for that. But I guess I'm to the point, TD, where I just don't see how that's very likely at all. Let's say my speculation there is correct. How do you see the money thing playing out here? Obviously, the Titans now have that $6 million counting against the cap this year.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be charged to the cap this year. And I guess, it's just – it's crazy. So basically what they could do is go after him to recoup some of that if he decides not to show up. In the meantime, and that's at all, but if he decides to continue holding out, not reporting, then he's going to continue to accumulate that $50,000 per day fine. I just think if he does show up, the trust has been breached, and that's something that's going to be hard to recover. Think about if you were a guy in that locker room. Think about if you're, random guy, Kenny Vaccaro. Think about if you're Kenny Vaccaro, right? And you saw what it was like to come in late and try to, fast forward your relationship with the guys, and then you benefited from being with them for a full year and having that opportunity. You look at this and you're going to be like, what's up? And I think that's the thing that really is going to be tough, is just him within that locker room. And for what I understand, he's not the most social person, from what I've been told. So you're already starting at a disadvantage, and now you made it even worse.
Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, on the line with us. And, Teron, I'm just going to throw the worst-case scenario at you. Let's just say Vic Beasley either doesn't show up, it doesn't work out, whatever the case may be, and the Titans are not able to land Jadeveon Clowney. What do you do there if you're the Titans from a pass-rushing perspective?
Yeah, that's a tough situation. I think you could look to a guy like Everson Griffin, who's still out there, but other than that, you just have to really scheme up opportunities to rush the passer. And you got to really hope that your secondary, could help the front end with their coverage, that will allow the front end to have more time to get to the quarterback. I think if neither of those situations work out, Vic Beasley or Jadeveon Clowney, a guy like Derek Roberson, his role and part of the team just is amplified. I think – Correa, his opportunity to improve upon that 5 sacks he had last year is pushed up, and it's not a good situation for them, though, because you look at all the sacks that they lost, all the pressures that they lost, and just the ability to impact the quarterback by way of Jarrell Casey and Logan Ryan, you didn't make up for that. So I think, if Beasley and Clowney aren't around, then it's going to be tough sledding for that defense.
Well, yeah, I was actually just going to bring up Casey, because that's another thing here, is part of the picture is, getting more on the edge, which they did in signing Beasley, but obviously you traded Casey away. I guess you could say a year early, you dumped the salary, and now, man, to me, Jarrell Casey could help a lot, because if with Casey and Simmons, you could get more interior rush to help everyone else. And obviously the Titans have high hope for Simmons, and he may be dominant this year. But, like, the whole picture of it, TD, is right now, it's unless there's a surprise, I guess, it's not good enough, right?
Yeah, I mean, on paper, it's not good enough right now. But the good thing for Titans fans and the good thing for the Titans themselves is, you know, scheme can help that. Of course, I feel players supersede scheme, but you can put guys in more likely situations to be able to make those plays. But, yeah, it's a very murky situation right now.
Okay, so we got to – so go to Clowney again right now. Some people have wondered, you know, why is he waiting and all that. And to me, like, this is exactly why. Because someone out there is going to be in a situation where they're more desperate for you. So do you see this as a situation where the Titans will now adjust what they're willing to give him? And I guess, do you think that he ends up closer to, you know, the high teens, close to $20 million range for a one-year deal?
I think they absolutely need to adjust what they are willing to give, just because of the fact that they need to make sure that they get him in the building. And I think it will definitely push him closer to that high teen. I mean, I could see a $15 million, you know, dollar for 1 year. I could see something like that being orchestrated, you know, because you basically have to. And it's so interesting how the game of leverage has shifted. You know, just 2 weeks ago, everyone's saying, well, you know, if Clowney gets $15 million, he'll be very, very fortunate. You know, they were saying it was 10 to 12 is probably where he's going to land. And now look what happened. So he's playing the game pretty wisely. But, you know, at some point you do got to get into that camp, and you do have to, you know, get acclimated to the new franchise that you're joining. But again, fortunately for him, he's familiar with so much with the Titans coaching staff.
Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter and host of Talking with TD, has been our guest here on Morning Drive. Also, just part of an incredibly talented family, apparently. I mean, this is just unbelievable here. TD, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it, man.
No problem, man. Thank you, guys. Take it easy.
Absolutely. Thanks, you too.
I want to hear more.
I know.
This should be bump
that
music.
That was really good.
It should be every bump music. Munson?
Get on,
he's over
Munson.
There. He's over there on
he's
the
over
board.
There working
he's
on other
he's
things.
Working furiously on the board. That's good stuff.
Yeah, man. I mean, I was hoping Teron gets a feature at least. You know, he gets a 16 bars that he can write up. I'm pretty sure TD can go back to the 90s, you know, rap a few bars here and there. I'm pretty sure he can.
Yeah,
he's underestimating his skill set.
Do we think TD was being kind of modest there in terms of not taking credit for musical talent in his family?
Well, I mean, he said Teddy Pendergrass. I mean, Teddy Pendergrass is some good stuff.
Yeah, man.
Actually, honestly, I think we need some Teddy Pendergrass bump music now before the end of the show. Before we get to the weekend, we need some Teddy P.
When we come back, there is a feud in college football brewing, and you won't believe who it's between. Spoiler alert, Ohio State and Michigan. That's next. We'll react to it. This is Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game.